to the choir master, according to the Gittith, a psalm of David. O Lord, our Lord, how majestic is your name in all the earth. You have set your glory above the heavens. Out of the mouth of babies and infants, you have established strength because of your foes to still the enemies and the avenger. When I look at your heavens, the work of your fingers, the moon and the stars, which you have set in place, what is man that you are mindful of him, and the son of man that you care for him? You have made him a little lower than the heavenly beings or the angels, and crowned him with glory and honor. You have given him dominion over the works of your hands. You have put all things under his feet, all sheep and oxen, and also the beasts of the field, the birds of the heavens and the fish of the sea, whatever passes along the paths of the seas. O Lord, our Lord, how majestic is your name in all the earth. So we have a psalm that is a really beautiful psalm that is reflecting on the creation, but as we'll see, it points us beyond the creation and the dominion that is given to Adam and to all of humanity. And we'll look at that in a moment. I want you to notice that in the superscription, it says, to the choir master, according to the Gittith. The word Gittith in Hebrew is the wine press. So there are those that believe that this psalm was connected to the bringing in of the vintage and the Feast of Tabernacles. Now, whether that's the historic case or not, or whether that later came to be true, I can't tell you, but I can tell you that Gittith means wine press. It's currently connected to the Feast of Tabernacles, and people will say that it was anciently connected to the Feast of Tabernacles as well. Now, one commentator said that the range of thought in this psalm takes us not only above the heavens and back to the beginning, but as the New Testament points out, to the very end as well. Sometimes it's said that all theology is eschatological, meaning all things point us to the end. And we have to remember what the end is. Like, we don't want to be afraid of a statement like that, or to get sidetracked on some of the minutiae of eschatology, as many do. I mean, we could talk minutiae. I'm happy to do that, but that's not the point here. The point of saying that all theology is eschatological is saying that all theology has that purpose of pointing us to that end, to the reason that all things are created. And the answer is in that beautiful Sunday school answer that you all know, Jesus. Jesus is the reason why all things have been created. And this psalm, in a beautiful way, points us to that. And the New Testament writers and authors understood that that was the case as they sang this psalm and as they looked ahead to the Lord Jesus Christ. Now notice in the first two verses, we have a praise of glory. The psalm begins with just giving praise to God. And this is really a great way for all of us to begin our worship, whether that is our singing or our prayers or our meditations. And the psalmist says, O Lord, and notice it's the covenant name of God. It's in all capitals. O Lord, our Lord, how majestic is your name in all the earth. You have set your glory above the heavens, and out of the mouths of babies and infants, you have established strength because of your foes to still the enemies and the avengers. What the psalmist is doing here is he's reminding us of this great New Testament principle that God uses that which is weak to overcome his enemies. The way that God ordinarily works is he takes the feeble and the foolish things of this life and that which is considered small and sometimes worthless, and he uses them as the ordinary means to defeat his enemies and even to overcome the world. You can think of the fact that the King of Glory that the people of God were anticipating came in the form of an infant, not in the form of a fiery avenger from heaven. And not only did he come as a baby, he came as a baby among the poorest of the poor, rather than the strong and the wealthy of this world. And this is true even today as God builds his church. We can think of all of the great ways that the world uses various means to manipulate the psyche and the soul of people. And in the scriptures, there is a very simple way that is put out, and the Apostle Paul calls it the foolishness of preaching. Who would think that something as foolish as opening a 2,000-year-old book and explaining its message, that that's how God would build a kingdom? And yet, out of the mouths of babies and infants, he establishes strength. He uses that which is weak to build his church. Now, the meditation begins with verse 3, verses 3 through 8. The psalmist, after giving this praise, he looks around to the creation and he asks this great question, what is man? And I think that this is a question that can be answered in numerous ways, and we have to answer it in numerous ways according to the scriptures. If you've never read the book, the classic book on human nature called Human Nature in Its Fourfold State by Thomas Boston, I would recommend that you pick that book up, and you could see what man was at the creation, that man was at fall, that man, what man is in Christ in redemption, and then man, what man will be in eternity. So we see that fourfold state of man. So that question, what is man that you are mindful of him? There are different ways that that depending on the time of the scriptures, that question is answered. But what David has in mind here is going back to creation and even connecting that to today, what we would call dominion. When I look at your heavens and the works of your fingers and the moon and the stars which you've set in place, what is man that you are mindful of him, and the son of man that you care for him? You know, and you and I can do that. We can go on, camping trips, or we can go to desolate places where there are more than a dozen stars in the sky. And you can look up and you know that that is the immediate question that fills your soul. What is man? It is a common question that mankind is asking when they contrast themselves in the perspective of the vastness of the creation. And the question goes beyond what is man. What is man can be answered in different ways, but I want you to think about this. Verse 4, what is man that you are mindful of him? And guys, think of how glorious that is. The God of creation, the God who created the heavens and the earth, he thinks on you. He knows your name. He knows your frame. He knows the things that, as we would say, make you tick. What is man that you are mindful of him? And the Son of Man, and Son of Man is a term of humanity, primarily in the scriptures. that you care for him. What is man? Now, I want you to think about that. It should astonish you that God is mindful of humanity. For all of God's giving this idea of being mindful, it has this idea that God is remembering always, that God's has a movement towards the object of his mindfulness. And that movement is towards us as humans. Now, in verses 5 through 8, where it says, "You have made him a little lower than the heavenly beings," I prefer the angels as the translation, "and crowned him with glory and honor. You have given him dominion over the works of your hands. You have put all things under his feet, all sheep and oxen, the beasts of the fields, the birds of the heaven, the fish of the seas, whatever passes along the parts of the seas." Now, again, we need to understand this the way that the New Testament understands it. And the way that the New Testament understands this text is that not only is this talking about humanity in general, of which you and I are a part, but it's talking about Jesus Christ specifically when the psalmist says that God has put all things in subjection. 1 Corinthians 15, starting at verse 26, says, or no, let's go 25. "For he," that's Christ, "must reign until he," that's God, "has put all his enemies under his feet. The last enemy to be destroyed is death. For God has put all things in subjection under his feet. When it says," that's the Bible, "when it says all things are put in subjection, it is plain that he is accepted who put all things in subjection under him," meaning all things are in subjection except the Father, because the Father put Jesus in charge of all things, "that God may be all in all. Otherwise, what do people mean?" And then it goes into that obscure verse 29. And then goes beyond that, talking about the resurrection of the dead. So here in 1 Corinthians 15, the Apostle Paul is using what in grammar or in language arts is called a synecdoche. A synecdoche is when you use one part to represent a whole. And here he's talking about the resurrection of the dead. And Paul's saying, if God has put all things under him, all things are going to be in subjection to him, and look, he was raised from the dead, then clearly, if he's raised from the dead, then all things are going to be put in subjection under him. And you go back to Psalm 8, we see that God has given Christ dominion over all the works of his hand. He's put all things under his feet. And then it goes into the aspects of the creation, sheep and oxen, beasts of the field, the birds, whatever passes along the paths of the sea. So we see that the psalm, and then the way that the Apostle Paul uses the psalm as a synecdoche in 1 Corinthians 15, he's showing us the greatness of that which Jesus Christ has inherited for his kingdom. All things are to be put in subjection under him. The extent of the kingdom and its relationship to Christ is dominion over all the works of the hands of God. And then it ends with a praise of glory. O Lord, our Lord, and it's a refrain, isn't it? How majestic is your name in all the earth. So as we return to the refrain, it's sung in a sense with freshness. It's sung as a new song, as the psalmist says elsewhere, something with renewed understanding. And the primary emphasis that we understand in verse 9, O Lord, how majestic is your name in all the earth, we're filled with this idea that God thinks on us and God has given humanity dominion. And then specifically, he has given Christ dominion, and all things will be put in subjection under him. We're reminded that of God in his grace. We're reminded of man's dominion over nature, which is not abusive, but which is using it in a wise, resourceful way. And even that, it is to take second place to Christ, that Christ is the one that has full dominion. Now, I wanted to share, that's the basis of the psalm, but I wanted to share a little story about the psalm that I think is really fantastic. There's a famous Eastern as in Eastern United States architect from the late 19th and early 20th century named Guy Lowell. And Guy Lowell built Emerson Hall of Philosophy, or he designed the Emerson Hall of Philosophy at Harvard College in the year 1900. And the architect finished his design, and then above the doorway to the building, there was a committee from the philosophy department that decided on a Pythagoras quote to be inscribed over the building. And the quote is, "Man, the measure of all things." So the building was built, and when the entrance was unveiled in the year 1900, the inscription was not what the committee had decided, but instead the artist, Guy Lowell, talked with the Harvard president, Charles Eliot. And Charles Eliot, the president, decided that he was going to override what the philosophy department wanted on the door of Emerson Hall. And the inscription was changed without committee permission. And above the doorway, even today, 120 years later, it says, "What is man that thou art mindful of him?" And that's the entrance going into the philosophy department at Harvard. And really, it's a great story. I'm not recommending you go against your employers in ways like that. I'm sure a president has more authority to do something like that than random builders. But it's really a great story that reminds us that in our thought life and in our heart and in all things, we are to remember that God is mindful of us, and that he has given us dominion. He's given us work. But above that, he has given Christ dominion, and he has thought on Jesus, where even Jesus Christ was victorious over the grave and will bring all things in subjection to himself.